This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I would say not disappointing at all. I think that these are allegations, like you mentioned in your question. It's things that we have to handle, and every day that there's distractions, some are smaller than others. And, you know, I'm confident that, you know, we'll focus on the Dolphins, and, you know, those two individuals that you mentioned will, you know, be able to, you know, handle the ongoing legal process.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into WEEI Afternoons here on a Patriots Friday, live from our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Dan Ball with you just a little after 2 o'clock here on Friday, January the 2nd, 2026. No Hart, no Fitzy, no Teddy today, but no problem as we're here with you on the afternoon program from 2 to 4 this afternoon, about half an afternoon show that we're doing for you, but an impactful half of a show here on WEEI Afternoons because we'll welcome on the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, Josh McDaniels, at 2:15 today. There are plenty of different directions that we need to go with the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, who Tommy Curran, as we just discussed during the crossover, claimed is a better coach than Sean McVay right now as an offensive coach in the NFL, which is a pretty remarkable compliment to pay not a first-year offensive coordinator, but certainly a first-time coordinator working with Drake May, working with a quarterback who you could argue he has never really worked with before, a type of quarterback that he's never worked with before. So we'll ask Josh McDaniels about his thoughts on the upcoming matchup with the Miami Dolphins. Patriots and the Dolphins on Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern on Fox. That is the matchup that wraps up a regular season for the ages for the Patriots. We'll also bring you our three-point stance at 3 o'clock. I will argue, as part of my three-point stance coming up later on in the show, that there is a new, burgeoning, growing, developing Boston sports dynamic duo that's happening right before our very eyes that you should be paying attention to over the next week or so, including taking center stage tonight. So we'll get into that at 3 o'clock as part of our three-point stance. We'll continue our preview of Patriots and Miami Dolphins. However, you have to recognize what has gone on this week when we discuss the Patriots. And by the way, we'll be joined by KJ Carson in just a bit, working to get him connected, joining us here on this afternoon show. But in order to properly discuss the Patriots matchup with the Miami Dolphins this week, it would be irresponsible not to mention everything that has befallen the Patriots, that has befallen Stephon Diggs, and has befallen Christian Barmore over the course of this past week. Think about the conversation that we were having when everybody cracked these microphones and we joined each other on Monday after the Patriots' stomping of the New York Jets. The conversation really seemed to get away from, oh, the Patriots have an easy schedule. Look at all the, look at how great they're doing playing these JV versions of teams. Yes, it was still a factor, but it was more, oh my God, look at the sheer dominance that the Patriots just put forth against the New York Jets. Look at the efficiency with which Drake May just absolutely handed the New York Jets their lunch. It seemed as though the Patriots were beginning their tune-up heading towards the playoffs with a 42-10 stomping in which Drake May was able to stand on the sidelines and watch and, you know, petition with refs trying to get calls for his guys along the sidelines. That was the lighthearted conversation that we were having. Of course, injuries were still a concern, and they're going to remain a concern because Mike Vrabel shared information on the injury report for the Pats this week. We'll get into that. Some other very interesting injury updates coming from the Miami Dolphins that we'll get into as well. But that was the tone and tenor of the conversation around the Patriots when we got on here on Monday looking at their second-to-last game of the regular season. That's where we were. But it's been an eventful week. It's been an eventful week, to say the least, and we'll continue to have that conversation with you as we move our way through. But joining us now here on the line on WEEI Afternoons is the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. That is Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels on a Patriots Friday is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Cape Cod Lumber, your local timber tech supplier, number one in premium decking. Coach McDaniels, Dan Ball with you. How are you today, sir? Oh, we're working to get Coach McDaniels here in just a moment. We'll continue to do that, and we'll have him on the line in just a moment as we continue to get you ready for Patriots and Dolphins here on a Patriots Friday. WEEI Afternoons, Dan Ball with you. And the conversation, again, coming from Jets into Dolphins changed tremendously. And now, the one question that we're all asking ourselves here is how are the Patriots able to navigate a situation that is leaps and bounds 180 degrees different from anything else that they have faced this year? And you think about the different challenges that have hit the Patriots at certain points this year. Injuries have been the most recent and the most pressing one, specifically the injuries to the run defense. They've had a couple of efforts that have absolutely been tough to deal with. But I believe we now have Josh McDaniels with us here. Coach McDaniels, can you hear us?
I can.
There you go. Well, Happy New Year to you. How are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year, guys.
It's great to have you with us here on a Patriots Friday. We get ready for the final game of the regular season. And Coach, before we get into some of the X's and O's of this week, it must have been an eventful year, to say the least, for you in 2025. What did 2025 mean to you as you now get set for a new year in your life?
It was just such a unique opportunity. I've spent a lot of time in this area and had no path that I knew was going to unfold when I took the year off in 24, and you never know what opportunities may come your way, but when the opportunity presented itself, it just such a blessing to have an opportunity to come back to an organization I have such great memories with, and enjoy being around this place again with such great people. And this team is such a unique blend of young and old, new and familiar faces for me, and to get to do it with Mike and this staff of guys that I've gotten really fond of, with this group has been really, really special.
Bouncing back for just a moment to last week's game for your group, Coach, talking about the New York Jets, just an incredible effort from your quarterback and your entire offense. But what worked so well for your group last weekend against the Jets in your eyes?
I thought we got off to a good start, really did a good job of executing early in the first quarter. I thought our guys got into a good rhythm. We stayed out of negative situations. I think we had one penalty on the day for 5 yards. Just really executed at a high level, and I thought the guys demonstrated the kind of the competitive stamina that you need at this time of the year to continue to do that, not take your foot off the gas, not take any breaks or naps during the course of the game, to let the opponent make plays and create momentum on their side. And so it was a good thing to see. And, like I said, the guys deserve all the credit for that.
It seemed as though your group was really able to come out. This is on both sides of the ball, but set the tone right from the beginning. It kind of called to mind the game right before the bye against the Giants, where on both sides, the physicality as well as the offensive performance, you just from the get-go were able to set that tone. How important of a pillar is that for your offensive unit from the first snap of the game, dictating the play and dictating the style of play that you want to play?
We want to play aggressive, and Mike's preached that all year to us. And I thought that was a good sign. You're playing a game late in December on the road in the division. You come into it understanding what's at stake for us, and you just, you play to your standard. And I thought the guys did a really nice job of coming out and being aggressive, physical, playing with great effort for 4 quarters, and got us off to a good start, and we were able to continue that effort from there.
You mentioned during the course of your press conference this week, when asked about Drake May and the season he's had and the chances he has to win some pretty prestigious awards, you would vote for any Patriot, which is, of course, the way you'd go. But what is it? What in Drake's game does he do better than anybody else in the NFL? What stands out the most about the way that he plays the game?
I don't know if I can compare him to everybody else. Honestly, I don't spend a lot of time watching the other guys. I think that would be unfair for me to do that. But I just know that there's so much that he does to help us win. And, you know, he does so much between the Sundays to prepare himself, to be ready to play and be aggressive, make smart decisions for our football team. I think he's done a really nice job of learning and understanding how to take care of the ball and protect the team. He's protected himself better as he's gone through the season. Certainly his ability to distribute it to whoever the open guy is and be unselfish and do the right thing in the passing game has been a hallmark of what we've tried to do all year. And, you combine that with his athleticism and the things that he does with his legs outside of the pocket, and the touch and ability to put the ball down the field into some tight windows. He's got a great blend of all those things. We're fortunate that he's our quarterback, and I'm sure he's humbled to be in those conversations. Any player would be.
We have the opportunity to talk with him every single Monday on this show as well as part of the Patriots Monday. So we often get his reaction right after you guys play your games. And something that Andy Hart, who I know you know very well, mentioned is that it seems as though he's really coming into his skin as an individual too. He's having more fun and joking around a bit. And it's been interesting to kind of hear his tone and tenor change and grow. Have you seen him growing up in front of your eyes too, from a personal perspective, growing into his personality and maybe some things off the field?
I think he's always had a great personality. That's why he's beloved, by everybody in our organization.
Sure.
And on this team. And I think I've told his parents that many times. They've done an amazing job with him and his brothers, and you see that every day when you're around him. I think honestly for him, and it's a really cool thing to be able to say this, is he wanted to earn the right by his performance to establish himself as the unquestioned leader of the team. And as much as you want as a coach to tell him, well, you don't have to wait for that, you know, you can go ahead and do it because you are the starting quarterback. I thought it was pretty amazing that was his perspective as we start in the beginning of the year. It's like, you know, I'm going to earn that right to do that, you know, and I'm going to do it with the way I play and the way I practice and how I prepare. And I think obviously he has done that. And so I just see more confidence, but the ability to do the things he's done. And now it transcends, you know, our offense, defense, special teams. He can talk to any teammate, about almost anything, you know, and he's got a great perspective. He's a team first guy in every aspect. And boy, do we have a great leader.
Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, with us here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Friday. Coach, as we begin to look forward to your final game of the regular season, just a note on the practices that you guys have had this week. It's been a week with some news in the headlines regarding a few of your players. How have you seen your group respond in a week that I know there's probably been a lot that's been surrounding the group?
Yeah, no real difference. I think we all, you know, you get conditioned to handle changes in the National Football League constantly, and or outside distractions or, whatever those may be. We all deal with injuries. We all deal with people being sick. There's other things that go on in all of our personal lives. So I think you just get conditioned to understand it, respect it, be there for each other. But also at the same time, focus on your job when you're here. You know, we all got a really important role to fulfill. That's our responsibility to each other and to the organization. And I've seen a group that's been very committed to doing so, and I wouldn't expect anything less from them.
To speak on the wide receiver room, Coach, your group lost Mac Hollins from the mix just about a week ago, and it's been impressive from a numerical perspective to see how he and your quarterback have really formed a relationship this year. What is the impact that Mac Hollins has had on your offense, and did you feel that absence last week?
Yeah, I mean, it would be hard not to because Mac is such a unique blend of intelligence, toughness, skill, size, and he does a lot of different things and performs a lot of different roles for our team. And so we've asked a lot of Mac this year. He's come through in many different ways and many different roles and under many different circumstances and conditions. And so whenever you lose a player, it's always the responsibility of the unit to kind of inherit that burden. And so I thought Todd Downing has done an amazing job, fantastic job this season of getting his entire group of receivers ready to go. We've got multiple players that have learned three positions and played all three in the same game. Efton, Kyle, Kayshawn, Steph, Mac. It's really a tribute to that group and how hard they've worked to accommodate any kind of issues or injuries. So Mac certainly will look forward to getting him back if and when we can. And the guys I know are ready to share the burden of taking on some of the roles that he played for us and excited about that challenge.
Kind of tangentially related to that answer, Coach, the next man up mentality has really been tested on both sides of the ball. So you seem to be pretty pleased with how your group is responding to the next man up, next man in kind of mentality.
Yeah, I think anytime you go through an NFL season and you're playing meaningful games late in the year, you know your depth is going to be a big reason why. And the quality of play that those players put out there on the field. They're going to have to take snaps, but more importantly than that, help you win with the way they play. And so whether it is Vidarian Lowe for the last 4 or 5 weeks, you look at Ben Brown, you look at Efton last week, there's Kyle Williams, the depth of Dearness Johnson. I mean, there's been a number of guys that have really stepped up for us and played meaningful snaps in critical situations. And that's what's required of your unit as you go through the year, because you're just never going to be able to go through and play the same groupings all season long without incurring some injuries. So proud of the effort of those guys, proud of the coaching staff for getting all those guys ready. It's not an easy thing to do, but have a lot of confidence in our group and excited about Sunday.
Coach, as we get ready for Sunday's game, as you mentioned, what are some of the challenges that you're expecting to see from this Dolphins group, and what constitutes a successful effort for your offense?
Yeah, this is a group that's the challenge is in a lot of different areas. They're playing well and playing hard. They've created 13 turnovers in their last 5 victories, and taking the ball away has been a huge part of their formula for success in the last 2 months. So, we're going to need to do a great job of protecting the football in every situation. They've got some different unique styles of pass rushers between Chubb and Sealer, Chop Robinson, if he's active and plays. Some of the other interior young players that they have really stepped up and gotten better as the course of the season has gone on. The two linebackers are exceptional in terms of finding the ball, and they lead one of the top duos in terms of tackles in the entire National Football League, and the secondary has played a lot of different people, but they get their hands on a lot of balls. They've been very disruptive, and Anthony Weaver has done a great job of figuring out how to evolve as the season's gone on. Third down is a problem. They do a great job of pressuring you into mistakes and doing a good job with their blitz packages. So there's a lot of challenges with this group. It's been a long time since we played them. Sometimes you get one of those back-to-backs in the division where it's not that many weeks in between. But this one, it's been multiple months. So you almost got to kind of, scratch the first game and kind of, go from a fresh perspective. So a big challenge for us, hard to win in the division. Looking forward to the competition on Sunday.
Though I'm guessing this is information that you cannot divulge. I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't ask. Any expectations for resting starters at certain points, or are we expecting to see the starting unit all the way through?
We're getting ready to play the game to win. that's a Coach Vrabel question and answer, but I know we've had a good week of practice and preparation, and everybody's ready to go, and I think looking forward and excited to try to get our 14th victory.
There you go. Fair enough, and I appreciate your candor on that one. Coach, we appreciate the time as always. Good luck here against Miami and moving forward, and once again, Happy New Year to you and yours.
Thanks a lot, guys. Happy New Year.
That is Josh McDaniels joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. A little bit of information, but not really a Coach Vrabel decision regarding some of the personnel decisions that may be in front of the Patriots here this weekend against Miami. We've got the full preview coming up on Patriots and Dolphins, our three-point stance at 3 o'clock, and much more here on WEEI Afternoons, including comments from Stephon Diggs, wide receiver for the New England Patriots. Both he and Christian Barmore were made available to the media today. We'll play some of those clips and some of the things that they had to say in their media availability after we get you caught up on what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Cars for Kids. Celtics beat the Kings 120-106 last night in Sacramento. Jaylen Brown led the way with 29 points and 10 rebounds. Seas will wrap up their four-game road trip tomorrow night in LA, taking on the Clippers. Tip-off from the Intuit Dome at 10:30. Bruins are off today before wrapping up a West Coast trip of their own. They're in Vancouver tomorrow night, taking on the Canucks. Puck drop from Rogers Arena at 10. Team USA, Sweden, and Finland hockey announced their rosters for the 2026 Olympics this morning. Four Bruins will be represented in Milan. Jeremy Swayman and Charlie McAvoy for Team USA. Elias Lindholm for Sweden. And defenseman Henry Jokiharju will represent Finland. Patriots on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's regular season finale against the Dolphins. Mike Vrabel met with the media not too long ago. He ruled out Robert Spillane, Kyrese Tonga, Harold Landry, and Jared Wilson. Tight end Jack Westover will be questionable. As for left tackle Will Campbell and defensive tackle Milton Williams, it's looking good for them to be activated off of injured reserve. In Red Sox news, according to ESPN's Buster Olney, the Red Sox have made an aggressive offer to third baseman Alex Bregman. Finally, the college football playoff semifinals are set after yesterday's quarterfinal action. Oregon beat Texas Tech. They'll advance to the Peach Bowl, where they'll face top-seeded Indiana after their beatdown of Alabama. Ole Miss took down Georgia thanks to a last-minute field goal. They'll face Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. Cars for Kids reminds you time is running out to donate your car. Any car, running or not, can be picked up as soon as tomorrow. Call 877-CARS-4KIDS now to secure your 2025 tax deduction and vacation voucher. That's Cars with a K. My name is Zach Ho, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Any expectations for resting starters at certain points, or are we expecting to see the starting unit all the way through?
We're getting ready to play the game to win. that's a Coach Vrabel question and answer, but I know we've had a good week of practice and preparation, and everybody's ready to go, and I think looking forward and excited to try to get our 14th victory.
Ever the diplomat, Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels answering a question that I went into knowing that there probably wasn't going to be much information on that, but you got to ask just to get the answer. Dan Ball, KJ Carson, good afternoon. How are you?
The bugs have finally let me free. But but you know what's interesting is this is why I like how the NFL on the last week of the season tries to eliminate scoreboard watching, because isn't the Denver Chargers game going to be the 1 o'clock game?
Yep.
And then the Patriots playing at 4 o'clock. So if Denver decides to lay it down, right? Let's just say Trey Lance discovers his talent and beats Denver. Do you think any Patriot is going to be rested at the 425 once they kick off at 425? Everybody's on the field. Everybody's available. So the NFL, I think it's really cool that they do this. That's why you have the, what was it, Tampa and Panthers trying to figure out who's going to win the South. Get that out of the way on Saturday. It doesn't, right? Patriots playing at 425 on the East Coast is already weird as it is, but they also know, I think, the NFL, hey, let's play this Denver Chargers game at 1 o'clock. So that way, if Denver wins, then yes, the answer to your question to Josh McDaniels is yes. I mean, hell, Joe Milton might suit up for week 17 again, suddenly just on free agency. So absolutely yes. Bunch of dudes are resting if Denver wins in the 1 o'clock window. Absolutely nobody rests if the Chargers win in the 1 o'clock window when you get to 425.
So, both games on Saturday, as a matter of fact, that Panthers-Bucks game for the NFC South, and then that Seahawks and Niners game in the late game, that decides the NFC West and the number one seed in the Western Conference. There's the hockey in me coming out in all of the NFC, but it's going to be an eventful week, and if you missed our conversation with Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, you can hear that on the Odyssey app, and you can also head to WEEI Afternoons, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can get that as well. So, KJ, you had a chance to hear what was going on with Josh McDaniels. You've observed what has been a tumultuous week, to say the least, in the land of the New England Patriots. So how do you feel about this group's ability to ignore the noise and just play a football game on Sunday?
You know, the key thing that Josh McDaniels, I think, said when you were talking to him just now, because my technical difficulties allow me to hear you talk to him, I just couldn't talk myself.
Okay.
Was he was talking about how, even with Mac Hollins missing, that Booty and Williams, these guys know at least three different places to line up, at the receiver position. That's key, because you hear a lot of fans talk about, like, they need an alpha receiver. Well, what if this game plan would need for the alpha receiver to play in a position that he doesn't like playing and he wants to just always go deep? So when you have this receiving core, the flexibility is there versus having a diva as your wide receiver one, who may be like, well, they're not getting me the ball and I only line up over on here, or this is where I do my most damage. So this is why it's important to kind of have moving pieces at that receiver position, more so than having like A.J. Brown there, right? Because if you're going to say, hey, A.J. Brown, I need you to be Mac Hollins this week, what do you think the response might be?
It wouldn't be, I'm not sure it'd be a favorable one. That's right. That's for certain. Yeah, right. You're absolutely right about that.
So be careful what you wish for, because the flexibility, I think, has been what's made this team successful. Drake May not depending on one or two receivers, shots fired, Matt Stafford. You know, like, this is spread out, right? Like, think about it. In the past, Dan, it was like, hey, the running back, 2 years ago, Ramondre Stevenson was the leading receiver. Like, we're nowhere near that. Hunter Henry, I think, last year was the leading receiver. We're, like, not even near that. Like, yeah. There's clearly a spread-outness that's going on with this receiver core that I think feeds into the narrative. And I know we'll talk about Drake May for MVP. But it's the reason why Drake May is the MVP, just because it's next man up.
I can't help but wonder, given the week that has had, this is the biggest test that the coaching staff has had this year. I know X's and O's wise, they've had to deal with pass rushers like Myles Garrett. They've had to deal with on the defensive side of the football, containing Josh Allen and James Cook twice. I know that X's and O's wise, you've dealt with a lot, but keeping a group focused during the week that the Patriots have had, in which you're, and specifically a guy like Stephon Diggs, KJ, who has been the vocal leader of your group, the guy who breaks them down, even yesterday when everybody got back to practice, the guy that breaks the group out of the huddle, all that kind of stuff. When there are these kind of stories going around, it's the biggest challenge that Vrabel, to me, has seen so far this season. It's the biggest challenge that McDaniels, two veterans in the coaching game, have seen. But I have no reason, based on what we've seen this year, to believe that the coaching staff isn't capable of putting a game plan together, but also creating an environment and creating a mindset in which the players in the locker room can just go forth and play this game and do their business and treat it as a business trip, get in, get out, and then deal with whatever happens after the fact. I based on what we've seen from the staff this year and how quickly they've established this newfound culture, I believe in their ability to keep this group focused on the task at hand.
Well, Dan, let's put this in perspective. So if you're going into that Cleveland weekend, you said to Mike Vrabel and their staff, hey, Myles Garrett is going to sack you guys five times this week, okay? And then going into this Dolphins game, you tell Mike Vrabel and staff, hey, there are going to be some accusations about a couple of your players, but they're not going to be in jail and they'll be available for practice and the league wouldn't suspend them.
Yeah.
Which one do you think, as a team, they would be more concerned about, right?
Got to be Miles. Yeah, it's got to be Miles, right?
Garrett
it's
actually going to lay you down five times this week versus an accusation that, let's just call it what it is, players are getting this all the time, in season, off season, nighttime, daytime. There's always something coming at them. It's part of the social construct that they're in. But this is why you hire a Mike Vrabel. This is why you have a Josh McDaniels on your staff. Like, because let's just say, I'm not saying anything about Jerod Mayo here, but let's just say you have Jerod Mayo now potentially being in a deer in a headlight situation where two of his players have accusations, and Myles Garrett has still sacked you guys five times a few weeks ago. But now this is in front of you, and you know, do you believe that Alex Van Pelt would be able to keep the offense in tune to what they need to do moving forward? I think the answer to it is, I just don't think those guys would have been capable for this type of fire, and not to use fire, you know, some people go through it, but it's a level of fire and still be able to have the team execute. Now, I think what may just happen is the Patriots may win by a million because everything that's been going on. But I think these guys are prepared in the leadership roles to know that sometimes something out of left field is going to happen that has nothing to do with on the football field. The worst thing that they probably want to deal with is things are going outside of left field in the field, and you can't control it like last year would have been the offensive line. Like, if you're like, yeah, the offensive line still can't fix itself, that would have me waking up at night if I was in this leadership and coaching for the Patriots.
We're taking your calls all afternoon here on the Patriots, 617-779-7937. Tim is in Natick on the Pats. Hi, Tim.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up?
I think that regardless of what happens with Denver, I think the Pats are going to play their starters most of the game anyway because they can't afford to lose, because if Jacksonville wins, Jacksonville will have the conference tiebreaker and the Pats would drop to number three instead of staying at number two. So I think the Pats want to win this game. You know, hopefully they'll have it well in hand like they did against the Jets and they can rest a bunch of the starters. But I don't anticipate the Pats not going full tilt in this game.
Tim, thank you for the call. And again, just to update the schedule, they may have flexed this recently. I'm not sure how the schedule makers do this. So the Jaguars host the Titans at 1. That's Texans host the Colts at 1. Bills host the Jets at 4:25. And then that Broncos-Chargers game is also at 4:25 in addition to the Patriots and the Dolphins. That's how the schedule reads here for Week 18. So unfortunately, KJ, to your point, you won't have as much of the opportunity as if this game was happening at 1 o'clock to read and react to whatever a final score is going to be. But I would love for the Patriots to be able to take care of business regardless of if you're scoreboard watching and have a midway through the third quarter, oh, no Devon Achane, limited Jalen Waddle, we just beat the brakes off the Miami Dolphins kind of situation unfold, regardless of watching the scoreboard.
Yeah, I think the perfect scenario is get a big lead early, depress the Dolphins from trying to move. You know, you just get the lead early and then get the reserves in there, because you do want to avoid an injury, especially if you end up with the number two seed you're playing next week. Granted, it's at home, but still, if you know that, hey, if guys can get half of a game and a week's rest, that's going to be key, because the worst thing you could see is someone go down with an ankle or tweak something towards the end of a game, which has become meaningless and it's been decided. But now you're going into like the most meaningful game of the season next week in the playoffs, and you don't have key people, and you're trying to. So, like, you just want to be leery of, like, you know, banging heads and concussion. You don't want like concussion protocol,
right,
to come into the conversation of like, will they be able to heal up this week? I mean, Kayshon Boutte is still trying to make his way through it. So I think that's the biggest one you would want to, like, anything that's going to affect, you know, mobility with ankles and feet and stuff like that, and concussion protocols would be the nightmare scenario of any Patriots players still playing out there. Granted, you want to play full speed. That's how you prevent, you know, reduce the chance of getting hurt. And you increase the chance of getting hurt if you're letting your foot off the gas. So yeah, you gotta still put your foot on the gas. But at some point, you gotta let some of these other guys get some gas pedaling in there as well.
Well, I was going to ask both of you guys, because John Lyons and Mega were sort of debating this earlier just about a couple hours ago during
the
midday
show. The shaken, not stirred argument over a martini?
I think this was after This may have been before that.
Super male 2554, I think.
I was so out of my depth on that conversation to him. Like, I don't know. I know I don't shake my Miller Lite, and that's about the extent.
Shake my Olympia, and it just pour out as water. No, I'm kidding.
Before the martini discussion, they were talking about, should the Patriots be scoreboard watching? Due to the fact that Denver Chargers game is during the Patriots game, do you guys want the Patriots looking at the score and saying, all right, well, the Chargers are actually staying in this game. Trey Lance is somehow keeping it a one-score game, and that sort of dictating what the Patriots do with their starters?
You could turn that score off. They did that in Carolina, I think, last week when they turned the score off of the Bucs game there. So technology will allow that. Hey, we can just put like a pixelated thing over it, like, you know, like it's graphic pixelated thing, like it's something nude or something like that. I just put pixelation over the Denver score. Remove it off of the board. Everybody's got phones in the stands, so they would know.
Brian, to your question about that, to the debate that they were having, I do want somebody. I want Stretch to be in Mike Vrabel's ear about the score of the Denver Broncos game.
No.
I do. I 100% do.
Because if Denver's up 17 points midway through the third quarter, do you sort of look at it and say, you know what, let's get these guys out of here. Denver's going to win this game. We're going to be the 2 seed. We don't want anybody getting hurt.
As long as you're winning the football game, winning as handily as I think you are personnel-wise able to do, then yeah, I'm fine with that. But if you're somehow in a dogfight with Quinn Ewers, which is its own drastic concern, then you got, obviously, to Tim's point that he made a few moments ago on the phone, you got to treat that carefully. But yeah, I do want there to be a cognizance on the sideline of what's going on around you, because given the injuries, KJ, that you're dealing with at this point, and just the fact that you'd like to make this path as easy as possible, anything that you can do to vault yourself into that number one seed, get a bye, and just let seeds 2 through 7 beat the daylights out of each other,
yeah,
I would try to do that if I got the chance.
So in this week where Vrabel has been under this, I guess, media microscope about not being disappointed in the distractions, wouldn't that be a distraction? Like trying to concentrate on the scoreboard? Like, you just win the game that's in front of you. Like, don't pay attention to what it's not even in your control. Only control what you can control. So at halftime, I'm sure probably someone is informing him what the score is, right? Like, I think you could probably say, all right, at halftime, well, you know what the score is. So I see what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's really for the fans, right? You hear an uproar going on, then you know something's going on.
Well, we'd love to hear from you at 617-779-7937. The question being, should somebody on the Patriots be scoreboard watching on Sunday, depending on the result from the Denver Broncos game, the Bills game, everything else going on in the AFC? Or is it head in your own boat? You should just be focusing on what's happening in front of you in Miami this Sunday. We'll take your calls. We'll react to your texts. We'll discuss a couple of things Patriots-related coming up in the next hour or so of our show. Drake May and his MVP odds, as well as comments from Stephon Diggs and Christian Barmore during their media availability. We'll get to all of that and more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Do you ever worry that one of those guys is going to light you up? Because I wonder why one of those guys doesn't just absolutely light you up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm 230 pounds, 6'5". I think it's a little harder to light me up than you think. So,
there you go. Love it. Love the answer.
When I see the guys coming, I got a good gist, but when I'm standing there with a football like a statue, it's a little easier for those guys to take me off my feet.
Brian, I didn't even know that I needed to hear that again. KJ, do you hear the tonal issue in that question?
How embarrassing the question going to Drake May from the guy who would, at best in high school, was the opening match at the JV matches. That's his weight class. Just call it what it is, right? I mean, like, literally, if you went to Andy Hart's high school wrestling matches, You would have to get there as soon as they open the doors because that's the weight class that he's wrestling in. And he's asking Drake May about getting knocked around.
Guys, it's going to light you up.
Yeah, bro, just worry about the red wristband or the green wristband. I think that's your limit right there, bro. You start talking weight class. I mean, Andy Hart is probably lighter than Manny Pacquiao. Would he not be? You think so?
Oh man! Well, he would tell you that he can outbench Ted Johnson. That was an early conversation when the two of them started working together. I know that's a different answer to your question, but
wait, woodshop bench, is that the bench we're talking about here? Like, come on, hey, that's a bench, Johnny bench, but woodshop bench, but not benching weights. There's just no way he's outdoing Ted.
He'll die on that hill, and
and he's had his shoulders torn out with like 15, 16 times.
All I know is that is one right. confident individual who just asked Drake May, are you surprised that they don't light you? I'm surprised that
Napoleon
they don't just knock your block off.
Man, okay? Yeah. Napoleon had a whole section. He had the whole central time zone to himself until someone said, look in the mirror. And then what do you know? America takes his land.
I love the fact he was wrestling before they even opened the concession stand for the match. 617-779.
Hi, Andy's mom. Oh, we're heading in. He's wrestling now.
793-7 coaches in New Hampshire on matchups for the Patriots. Hi, Coach. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you? Great Good. Show. Before Thank I you. Get to my take, Andy may have been a JV wrestler, but I'll tell you, his son is a hell of a high school quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Even more embarrassing. Dad, what do you have to say around the house now? Huh? Come on. You're coming.
No doubt. No
At least
doubt
I'm in
about
the fourth
it.
Quarter.
So, guys, assuming we don't get the bye, I got to be honest. Like, I'd love to know the scenario. I do not want to play the Buffalo Bills. That's a team that scored 5 touchdowns in a row. I don't know many NFL teams that have done that this year against another NFL team. And I know we had players missing, but that scares me. I don't want to see them in round one. Can you tell me, enlighten me, some of the scenarios so we don't have to play Buffalo, or even point out how we would end up playing Buffalo in round one?
Thank you for the call, Coach. Yeah. Yes, so the KJ, from what I've been reading and kind of poking around on...
If Buffalo and the Chargers lose, yep. Buffalo stays in that 7 spot.
Right.
Yeah, so... Do you think the JV kids in Buffalo might just be that petty and say, you know what, we're just going to sit this out just so we can play the Patriots again?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. See, it seems like a lot of other fan bases, and I don't know if you see the same thing across socials and whatnot, a lot of other fan bases really want to see the New England Patriots in the playoffs. That's the way that I've been perceiving it this week.
And then there's another section that really wants to see the Buffalo Bills play the New England Patriots in week one, hopefully seeing that the Patriots are out, right? Like, so if you believe some of the people's narratives who are thinking, they're one and done, what they're really banking on is Patriots-Buffalo wild card weekend. That's the one thing they're banking on, right? So do I think, again, if I can't sit here and say, hey, a team's going to go out there and purposely lose, that's how people get hurt, then I'd have to say I don't think Buffalo's going to try and go out there to lose the game. You know, look, Mitch Trubisky is almost a walking L at this point. But at the same time, you would think, okay, whoever they're playing, I forgot who Buffalo's playing. They're playing the Jets?
Yeah,
who
are they playing? Yeah, Jets.
Oh, jeez. Boy.
That's a thing.
Talk about a shootout at the OK Corral with no bullets. Like that. I mean, what happens? I guess the question would be, what happens if that game ends in a tie, right? If Buffalo tries to stink it up so bad and the Jets already suck as it is, right? Like, you can't get negative points in a game, right? So I don't know. Like, I guess a tie would have to play into it. If there's a tie and the Chargers lose, then the Chargers would be the 7 and Buffalo would be able to move up to the 6. So I guess you would really hope for a Buffalo win or a tie.
So,
to avoid them being in the 7.
Per the ESPN NFL playoff machine, just to enlighten Coach, and then we'll get back to your calls. Oh. So assuming that all the favorites win in this one, KJ. So you have Texans against the Colts. You have the Broncos against the Chargers, Patriots, Dolphins, Bills, Jets, and Jaguars and Titans. If every favorite wins, the Patriots are the 2 seed. They play the 7 seed, which is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yep.
If I'll put in tie just for Bills and Jets, nothing changes. So you're still playing the Chargers. The Jets would have to win, to your point, and the Bills would have to essentially tank this one. In order
for you. It
should
be an investigation, right? It should be an investigation.
Yeah,
they do.
To the point where you're like, yeah, remember that game against, I think it was it Denver and the Raiders where they kicked the field goal as time expired to cover the over and the spread by half a point?
You think that's what they did or you thinking that's what they purposely did?
I'm just saying that that's an example of a game where if I was the NFL, I'd go, let's take a little bit of a deeper look into Pete Carroll's text messages. But I digress. The statistical probability based on these matchups is that you are the 2 seed and you're seeing the 7 seed Los Angeles Chargers in the first round. So how do you feel? Yeah, I was going to say out of those options, Chargers, Bills, Texans, those are really the 3 that you can see. Do you feel the best about the Chargers?
The best about the Chargers just because you don't. Well, look, we've seen Justin Herbert get to this point in the playoffs and it end. So I don't see it picking up. Their line has been decimated throughout the season. Their receiving core has been spotty at times. Obviously, Justin Herbert had did he break his left hand or there was a fracture in the left hand that had him in the cast and he's just coming off of that. Add in the cold weather, the cross-country travel. Yeah, those things favor the Patriots, right? Houston, who would have the tiebreaker against the Bills anyway, right? So they would always be ahead of the Bills no matter what happens, barring, let's say, Houston loses and the Bills win, then the Bills would be able to, you know, to move forward. Same thing with, I guess the only thing is if Jacksonville loses and Houston wins, does that make Houston the 3 seed and Jacksonville the then 5? I think that's the only other thing that might change things up a bit with the Patriots being at a 2, and let's just say all things play out, then you might be looking at, in a 2-3 matchup, Houston in the next round versus seeing Jacksonville, right? So that's the only thing that I would really be paying attention to is, what if Jacksonville loses and Houston wins? Houston potentially could be the Patriots' next opponent. And I don't want to see Houston. I'd rather see Jacksonville somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Getting to the conference final.
I'm with you on that one just because of the pass rush on that Texans defense is just that scares the living daylights out of me. So also just on that as well, if Jacksonville does lose, which implies a Tennessee win, which is something that, you know, every now and again, every now and again, the moon and the stars align and you get something like that. That would drop Jacksonville to the 6th seed. So it would still be a 3-6 divisional matchup between the Texans and the Jaguars. I can screw around more with that, but that's kind of the point that the statistical probability for a lot of these matchups is that you are seeing Los Angeles in the first round, and there are a lot of things to like about that. We're up against a break. We'll take it here. We have more of your phone calls lining up. Tyler, I see you, as well as the rest lining up at 617-779-7937. We've got plenty more to come in our second and final hour of WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball and KJ Carson with you. We're back after this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm 230 pounds, 6'5". I think it's a little harder to light me up than you think.
I'm not that big, and I'm having issues here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.